Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, church. It's so great to see you here today. Pastor Susan and I are away this week at some biannual meetings with the Compassion Network, which is the network of churches and pastors that we're a part of, such a wonderful group of people. We're into a new season of ministry planning, so it's going to be exciting to see all the good things that are to come. But I didn't want to miss today. Today is Pentecost Sunday, so I made sure that just before I left, I pre-recorded my message so that I could be with all of you today. You know, last week we talked about the significance of Pentecost and how it affected not only the early church, but our church today and our lives today. And so I would encourage you that if you missed it, go back to our YouTube channel and watch that message on demand anytime. You can pick up any of the messages in this discipleship series that we're into. Again, I've heard just such great feedback from all of you. So go back, make the best of those resources. You know, today, 50 days after Easter, is a significant day of celebration in hundreds and thousands of churches all around the world that are commemorating the birth of the Spirit-empowered church that we read about back in Acts chapter 2. The story of Pentecost is that God always knew that we would need power, certainly more than our own power, to live this life of faith, to be his disciples. We need his power to do that. So he put this plan in motion, and it continues to be in motion to this day. So we're in week 6 of an 8-episode series called The Heart of Discipleship, A Journey of Spiritual Growth. And our series, again, has focused on the growth of your faith, the development of you as a fully devoted follower of Christ, or as a disciple. And our theme verse, which many of you are learning now as we've been talking about it over these 6 weeks, is actually the Great Commission. These are the words of Jesus, his final words in the book of Matthew. Let's read it together. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, "Then Jesus came to them and he said, 'All authority has been on heaven, in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples,'" or students. It literally means those instructed in the things of faith. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." This is so important because here even Jesus affirms in the Great Commission the need that one of the first things we should do, the next step after saying yes to Jesus, is to be water baptized. And it's this outer expression, this confession of our faith to our friends and our family, to our church, to the world, that we belong to him. It's, again, an outer expression of what's already happened within our heart. Some have referred to it as kind of like the wedding band of our commitment to Christ, because it signifies that we are his and he is ours. So I would encourage you, if you have never been water baptized, the next time that we do water baptism, I want you to sign up, jump in. Listen, it's something that I've still talked to people to this day that know God, that love him, that have always said, "I always thought about doing that, but I've just never done it yet." Listen, this is a great opportunity. The next time that we do, we want to celebrate with you. So make sure that you're a part of that. So he tells us to go into the world, make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And that's what I'm trying to do throughout this series. The Bible is filled with truth that needs to be taught and broken down into bite-sized pieces. We all know that when we sit down to have a couple of slices of bread, we don't sit down and jam the whole loaf down our throat. We take a slice at a time, we put on a little butter, maybe a little bit of jam, and we take it a bite at a time. The same is true with the truth of the Word of God. We can't get it all, learn it all, develop in a perfect way overnight. It's a period of time that it takes. And then the Great Commission ends with, and surely I am with you even to the end, to the very end of the age. So he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. I don't know who's here in the house today that needs to hear that, because sometimes we go through some stuff. But you need to know today, maybe that word is just for you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. So powerful. And throughout this series, we've covered some very important next steps to develop as disciples of Christ. We talked about at the beginning of the series how to go deeper with God, that it's a low and slow process as opposed to like a hit and run instantly overnight situation. We talked about in that process how to spend time daily with God, how to give the Lord the best of our day. And sometimes that means getting up a little earlier than maybe we want to. Because the truth is, I've always said that once you wake up, it's like jumping on a moving train. Things are already in motion. And if you get caught up in it too quickly, you'll lose the time that you need to spend with him. So give him the best. The same way that we give him our tithes, that tenth of the best that we have, give him the tithe of your day, of your week, of your year. Give him the best of your own time. Then we talked about the importance of being planted in the local church, of putting our roots down and growing in a way that is healthy. So, so important. And then last week we talked about the benefits of spirit-empowered living. I loved that message because I feel like today's message, looking at discovering our spiritual gifts, is really the part two to that message. They just marry so good together. You know, from day one here at Calvary, we have taught people to understand and to use their spiritual gifts so that every member is a minister. We still believe that to this very day. I believe this is one of the keys to the growth that we continue to see here in our church. And as we equip you and you are spirit empowered, his power flows through your life to the people around you, to your extended family, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to the people you go to school with. That power flows in and through you, which is really an accurate picture of what the early church looked like, which we commemorate today on this Pentecost Sunday. You know, our church has been truly a reflection of our city, and more importantly, a reflection of heaven itself. Men and women, young and old, discovering their spiritual gifts and actively using them to lead others to Christ, serving on teams, giving of their time, making an investment. God wants to use you, all of you. You know, when I realized that myself in my teens, it changed me forever. Seeing the members of our church over the last 20 years ministering to others and saying yes to the call of God on their lives has been some of the most meaningful years of my life. It's just a wonderful thing to see. And it encourages me. It fills me with hope and great expectation for where he's called us to go. Even this week, as we work with other pastors and churches within our network, we're prayerfully planning for this next new season of ministry so that even our team is aligned with what God is doing in the world right now, to be a part of what he wants to do in our generation. I don't want to miss that. I want to be right in the middle of it, and I want all of you to be in the middle of it with me. You know, when everyone within the church discovers their purpose and uses their gifts, when that happens, we can change our city, literally. We can influence communities, cities. We can shape nations. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Now, the grace here that Scripture is talking about is not the kind of grace that you pray this afternoon before you eat lunch or dinner. It's not even talking about the amazing grace of God. It's more accurately kind of rendered from the original Greek as the word kairos, which literally means a divine enablement. So to each one of you, a grace is given, or a divine enablement has been given. Because that divine enablement is something that you feel fulfilled in doing. It's something that you're good at, that God has gifted you in, that you can make an eternal difference in the lives of other people. It's interesting in verse 7 that it ends with, as Christ apportioned it, which basically means he made the decision. He made the decision to gift you and wire you the way that you are. And sometimes we don't understand how that works or why he did it the way he did. But the only way to understand the gifts he's given you is to know the one who gave you the gifts. Every one of you have been given a divine enablement so that when you're in your lane, man, you enjoy it. You're like, this feels right. I feel like something has snapped into place finally. And there have been times in your life where maybe you have had a taste of that, but when you find that sweet spot where God wants you to be, those gifts that he's called you to develop, and you begin to develop them, you'll see the Spirit of God moving through those things. He's the one who gives and decides that I'm going to give this person musical gifts or administrative gifts or gifts of compassion or mercy. He's the one that makes those decisions. And then it continues in this scripture to outline 5 unique roles that he gives to the church to equip the people of God. Theologically, we call this the fivefold ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 says this. Says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to do all the work of the ministry. No, that's not what it says. To equip his people for works of service. So my primary role as your pastor is to be an equipper of the church, not just the sole doer of the works of the ministry. I'm the equipper of all of you so that God can use you as ministers to minister to one another and to reach out and minister to the world around you. Every member, a minister, right? So that the body of Christ may be built up, that it may grow. When you develop your spiritual gifts, you discover purpose. You discover why he made you to be a certain way. That's when that growth as a disciple begins to really click. Until we have all reached unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Again, there's that word, mature. Talking about being disciples, fully devoted followers of Christ. And there are levels of maturity when it comes to discipleship. And you can't jump to step 10 until you've completed step 3. One leans up and grows and like a domino goes into the next one along the way, right? We need to understand that. Attaining, it says, to the whole measure, which interestingly enough means that there could be a half measure, right? In other words, yes, you may be going to heaven when you say yes to the Lord, but there's still room for growth in your life as a Christ follower. There's still room for you to develop. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. You know, learning about your spiritual gifts and using them is the path of stability in your walk with God so that you're no longer up and down and all around. He wants to give you some stability, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Now watch this. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature, again, there's that word, mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined. So all of us connected together and held together, the Bible says, by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So the ultimate goal here for each of us is to discover our spiritual gifts and then get to work, right? That's what he's calling us to do. Doing something with our lives together to impact the world with the power of the gospel. Chris Hodges defines spiritual gift this way. He says, a spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives to each of his children so that we can connect with one another, be strengthened together, and advance his purposes in the world. All of hell is set against that. All of hell does not want you discovering your purpose or using your spiritual gift. And Jesus, when he came, he broke the mold for what ministry looks like. It was no longer the high priest and just them who spoke to the people or spoke to God for the people. Now the people could speak to God themselves. And they weren't the only ones who did the work of the ministry. Now it was given to this ragtag group of disciples who were rough in every possible way. He was investing his life and his time, and it was limited into these people so that it moved the ministry beyond, you know, those who were the trained professionals. And then on the day of Pentecost, he poured it out on everybody. Everybody who was there praying was filled with the Spirit. It wasn't to this one and to that one. The Bible says he filled them all. And hundreds of thousands of people that were giving birth in that moment to the church were filled by his Spirit. In fact, they quote this verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on just certain special people. No, it doesn't say that at all. What does it say? I will pour my Spirit out on all people. That means everybody. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So this wasn't just reserved for the seniors of the faith. God wants to use this young generation. That's why we at Calvary will forever be a champion of our young men and women. They're not the next generation, they're the now generation. And we'll shout it from the rooftops. We'll pay whatever price is necessary to see them released in the call that's upon their life. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Listen, we're not here to entertain your kids and your students. We're not here to just keep them, captive as far as their attention goes on a Friday night or a Sunday morning. We are going to disciple them and train them as leaders. That's what it's all about. And you can be assured of that. With every dollar you give, with every hour you invest, you know that we are here to strengthen your family. Because I'll tell you what, the last thing we need in this generation is more entertainment. We need to be trained to understand with conviction the work of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. Even on my servants, both men and women. Did you hear that? Men and women. The early church I used to go to, they'd read the Bible and they'd say, this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And all the ladies said, amen, right? It's for all people. And I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy, or they will proclaim the name of the Lord. Now listen, our new Discover class that's coming in September will help you discover who we are as a church. You'll discover Calvary. You'll also discover, more importantly, your purpose, how you're gifted spiritually, and then give you opportunities to serve and develop in those giftings. It's so very important. God's design was never meant to be a small group of professionals doing the work while everyone kind of sat back and watched. That's not what it was about. God has called all of us to actively be ministers in the generation that we live. You know, Jesus debunked all of that when he came and modeled ministry. He developed disciples, and then he left. He left the work to them. He could have stayed and said, you know what? I think you need me a little bit longer. I'm going to stay and get the job done. No. He trained them in what they knew he knew they needed, and then he left so that they would trust him, leaving the ministry to the people, not to a pope, not to a supreme leader who would do the work. Jesus commissioned you and I to go and not just to center everything that we do around one individual. The days of superstar ministry is over. God wants to develop a generation that know and trust their God and do great exploits in his name. Susan and I just recently had an opportunity to meet with some leaders and some great churches in Southern California. And these churches do a great job pioneering, kind of simplifying church and getting the ministry back into the hands of the people. These are important truths. But some of these truths that we kind of glean from our time there, I want to share with you today. And the first one that I really want you to understand is that God has called every believer to be a minister to the world around them. You are a minister. You're a priest to your community, your school. You're gifted by God to make an eternal difference. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work." There's that word again, work, right? There's no getting around it. There's an important work to be done, and he's called us to do it. And speak out for him to tell others of the night and day difference that he has made in you. If God has changed you, tell somebody about it. Share the good news. God had the thing in mind for you to do before he even created you. And we have been created for this purpose. Ephesians says it this way. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's handiwork." Another translation says, "We're God's masterpiece." I love that description. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, here's the second truth I want you to get. Every gift God has given is unique and important. You don't have to be like the person next to you. They don't have to be like you. The way God has gifted you, he's done it in a unique way. Listen, I'm happy to pray for anybody when I get an opportunity to do it. But I want you to know I don't have any more special access to God than you do. So if someone you meet at work or school or in the neighborhood, they need help or they need prayer, listen, pray for them. You are the church. God wants to work in and through you. Whenever you meet need, minister to it. This, when I look at it and read some of the things I've studied over the years, you see terminology when it comes to church history that have taken people in the wrong direction. Terminology in church history that's not even biblical, using terms like clergy and laymen. These are words that have created a hierarchy that elevates one gift above another, one person above another, as if you're called to just come and to watch the clergy do the Jesus stuff, while the layman, that's a horrible name, layman, as lame, who would want to ever be a layman, while the layman watched the clergy. That's terrible. God has not called the church to come and watch the professionals do the Jesus stuff. He's called all of us to get out there and do the Jesus stuff. In fact, Romans says it this way, Romans 12, verse 6, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to us." I want you to walk away today knowing that God has something special just for you, that he's made you in a way that's incredibly unique. And he wants you to make a difference in the world. But he's not made a clone of you so that if you say no, then another one steps in your place. You are unique and special. And for those of you that are listening to a lie in your head of the opposite, to say that nobody cares and they wouldn't miss you, it's not true. God loves you, we love you, and we believe in the call that he has for your life. The third and final thing I want to give you is that the gifts God has given me and you show me and show you who I am, who we are. We are living in a generation with so much confusion around identity, my body, my gender, my future, my life. There's just mass confusion. And they say that today we're the most medicated generation in history. When the body and the mind don't align, then they say, well, just go change it. Go change your body. Mold it and shape it into the image you see, not the image of who he is. The Bible disagrees with this approach, this confusion. Scriptures tells us that if your mind and your body don't align or agree, don't change your body, change your mind, change your thinking. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And listen, that is not to diminish anyone in need of medication or therapy, because God uses these things and he continues to use these things. And I thank God for it. But I want you to know that in understanding how God has gifted you, it can reveal who he intended for you to be. So listen, in closing, let me encourage you to do three different things. Discover your spiritual gifts, because it's only in Christ that you're going to find them. Discover them, but find them in him. Second, develop your spiritual gifts. Come to church, take a class, take the discovery class in September. And then the third thing, use your spiritual gift. We have opportunities that fill this church to serve on a team so that you can develop as a disciple of Christ. Develop your spiritual gift. Use it, right? Because once you've discovered it, you've got to take it to its next step. It's so, so important. Discover your gifts, then develop them, then use them. And you'll see the Lord creating something special in your life. You'll begin to see that purpose that he's created for you. Would you allow me to pray for you today on this Pentecost Sunday as all of our church gathers together? I'm praying that God, in his spirit-empowered way, will change us, that he'll activate the gifts that are within us, and that every member of Calvary Church would be used as a minister. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I bless our church family. I thank you for the good work that you've started in all of us. I thank you that you are continuing that work, that you are working in and through our lives. Holy Spirit, fill us. Give us understanding of the gifts that you've given us so that we would live in purpose. That, Lord Jesus, we would recognize that our identity is found in knowing you, so that we can take this good news to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. Look forward to seeing you again soon.